This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with conductor Amy Anderson, and we're kind of picking up where we left off when we got together at GDC, and it is fantastic to have a chance to continue the conversation.
It's a pleasure to be here as well, and nice to pick up on where we left off.
We had such a great conversation about orchestral music and concerts and what incredible enthusiasm there is for game music concerts. And you kind of came on my radar during your tour of the Symphony of the Goddesses with the music of Zelda. And I know before that you had Replay Music of Heroes. And so I'm kind of curious, when you made the jump from being a traditional orchestral conductor of symphonies and operas, what was like the biggest surprise for you when you jumped into the world of live game music concerts?
Well, the biggest surprise was how many people come to these live orchestra performances. Young people as young as 3 and 4 with their parents who may be in their 30s, with their parents who are maybe in their 60s. I was amazed at the wide range of ages. You almost never see that at a traditional sort of symphony concert, unless it's like a children's concert or something of that sort. I was stunned, and I realized there's a whole world of people who love video game music, who absolutely are thrilled to see it on stage in a concert hall with an orchestra.
Yeah, it's really phenomenal. And my first experience was one of Tommy Tallarico's Video Games Live concerts in New Haven. The diversity of audience members was just something I'd never seen at a traditional classical concert. So that makes me wonder, you know, what are some things that maybe orchestras these days could learn from game music concerts to kind of draw a larger audience?
Well, what they can do is move outside of the conventional thinking that a so-called classical concert, which really doesn't mean much anymore, it's not really just classical music, but a so-called classical concert, it needs to move outside of the box, and orchestras need to embrace the idea that beautiful music is simply beautiful music. It doesn't matter if it's film score music that touches us, or video game music, or contemporary music, or 19th century music. It's all interchangeable, and there really doesn't need to be any separation anymore, and any boundaries, and any attitude that, well, this is just not legitimate music. And if they take that approach, the concert seats will be filled, most definitely. I did 3 back-to-back concerts in St. Louis Symphony with the Zelda Symphony program, and it was unbelievable. They said they don't ever sell tickets like that. I mean, the tickets were gone in 2 days.
Wow.
That's what orchestras can learn from this. It's so relevant. It's so current. It's a huge learning experience for them to change the direction of where many orchestras are going, which is becoming irrelevant.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is that for so many younger potential audience members, they're just not as familiar with Beethoven symphonies or Mozart piano concertos, and that might be one of the reasons why they're staying away, because they don't know the music the way they know and love the music from games.
Well, certainly that's a huge point. I mean, music education in public schools has fallen dramatically over the years. Society has changed. Young people are interested in different things. There's a whole range of things to be distracted by. I mean, there's Instagram, there's the internet, there's YouTube, and the expectations of being entertained and engaged in something is different than what it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, you went to a symphony orchestra concert and you were expected to remain quiet and to not rustle your program and, you know, don't sneeze and don't cough. And it's actually still remained from then up to now, and that's very unfortunate. But young people have a different expectation. They want to be part of the music experience. They want to take pictures of the orchestra on stage. They want to film things. A lot of concert halls forbid that, but a lot of concert halls are starting to accept that. They want to feel like they've participated in part of the music experience and not be sitting on the other side quietly with their hands folded and trying to take it all in. So the landscape of our culture has changed in so many ways. It's the immediacy, accessing things online and photographs and people and tweeting and instant messaging that has captivated this young generation. And now it's time to translate that into the concert experience.
Yeah, I have this sort of fantasy, you know, golden age in a few years when game music will just be programmed as part of a regular symphony concert, like with the music that influenced music for a game, Sibelius or Stravinsky or whatever, so that game music is really kind of more mainstreamed with orchestral concerts. And to me, that would be like the best of both worlds.
Oh, that definitely is the best of both worlds. And that's one of the aims that I have with my new Orchestra Moderne NYC in New York City, is to fully integrate video game music and film music and contemporary music into a program where people no longer say, oh, well, this is video game music. What's going on? It's just another piece of beautiful music on the program. So it's fully integrated, and it's no longer us versus them or black and white or what's this. Just beautiful music.
Yeah, well, it's like what Duke Ellington said, man, if it sounds good, it is good.
That so, is the truth.
Yeah, I think it's really, really brave of you in the climate that so many orchestras are having these days, that you actually decided to start a new orchestra, your Orchestra Moderne, and that orchestra had its debut at Carnegie Hall in October of 2017. And so tell us a little bit about that program and then what the audience response was to that.
When I founded the orchestra, I was really determined not to make a traditional ensemble that performs five concerts a year and does Brahms and Beethoven and maybe does a violin concerto. I said, everybody else is doing that, and I don't need to add to that because it's really not adding anything. So my goal was to form a very diverse, interesting, top-flight musician group of people, and perform music that's socially relevant, that people can connect to. And so during the time that I was forming the orchestra, it was just past the election, and immigration was a big topic. And so I decided to do a program that focused on the topic of immigration. It's socially relevant. It would start people having a conversation. It would start a dialogue of sorts. And so we did that, The Journey to America, From Repression to Freedom, at Carnegie Hall in October. And the overarching theme is that we are all immigrants and we come from all parts of the world, and we make this country infinitely richer and more beautiful by having people from every part of the world. The audience response was tremendous. It was a huge success, if I am allowed to say that. And it just gave impetus to the thought that people really want to hear music that they can relate to, that's relatable, that's socially relevant, that's current, because it has a deeper meaning than, it has a different meaning than going to a concert and hearing a Beethoven symphony. And that was several hundred years ago. And so it's more of an intellectual experience. It takes more music education to appreciate. But the Orchestra Moderne concert, young and old came to it, and it was accessible music. So they immediately got it. We had projections, visual projections, and seven actors in one of the pieces. So again, it was this multimedia kind of visual experience reflecting the current age that we live in, which is very visual, very multimedia.
It sounds like it must have been just an amazing experience. And it also sounds like the sorts of concerts that would have been done in Mozart's time or Beethoven's time, because they didn't look back. They had plenty of amazing music that was written, you know, in some cases just the day before that they were sharing with their audiences. So it sounds like you've had to like leapfrog back a couple hundred years to really create or recreate this sort of modern, really energizing experience of a classical concert.
Well, that's a very interesting point. And the fact is that many times the parts were the pen and paper parts were still drying, the ink was still drying as they started the rehearsal. And yes, music was always a reflection of the times that were, and composers lived off of commissions. And somehow, because we developed this staggeringly huge repertoire of music from the 17th century, we've felt obligated to perform all of it constantly. Instead of looking forward, we've looked backwards in the last 60 years, to the detriment of audiences, to the detriment of orchestras, and to the detriment of kind of the evolution of musical experience as a whole, particularly in the United States.
Yeah, and I think especially in the mid-20th century, classical music was really getting harder and harder for people to understand. I remember in one of my music history classes, we learned about something called fur music that was just the noise that was made when you were petting a piece of fur, and then they'd process that through a bunch of synthesizers and stuff. And that was the kind of music I think that gave contemporary music a bad name because it is so disassociated from what people's experiences are. And so now I think it's really great that contemporary music, the pendulum is like swinging back and composers are writing music that people really want to hear.
Yes, and particularly video game composers. They write deeply thematic music. It's very emotional. It's emotionally accessible. And that's ultimately what draws me into it. Some contemporary pieces that are very intellectual and more sterile and cerebral, they're fascinating on an intellectual level, but I don't hear them in my mind when I'm walking through the woods. I don't hear those pieces when I'm in the rain or on an airplane. It's the thematic music that I hear that conjures up a particular visual imagery or that conjures up a particular emotion. Those are the pieces that really stick to my heart. And I think it's probably true for most people, or for many, many of us. And therefore, the video game music is really, it has a part, plays an important part in reconnecting listeners to the orchestral experience and to the experience of thematic music, as well as film music. Film music and video game music are the same in a way because they both are portraying the emotions and the visuals. But video game music goes much deeper thematically into a richer vocabulary, I feel, than film music is allowed to go these days.
I think so too. And I think also, if you are a composer working with a studio that is really feeling adventurous, they'll give you a lot of latitude to create a really incredible, unique sound that's really identifiable with that game. And
Yes, definitely.
yeah, and recently, well, in March, you teamed up with conductor Neil Akri, who's the composer of a lot of the music for World of Warcraft and Diablo and Overwatch, and created this incredible concert in Sofia, Bulgaria. And it just sounds like, oh, kind of a who's who of game music because Penka Kuneva was there. You played music from Jessica Curry's Everybody's Gone to the Rapture and Borislav Slavov's music for Divinity, Original Sin 2. How did you get involved with that concert?
Well, the invitation came from Cantus Firmus, which is a production company located in Sofia. They work together with Classic FM Radio right there in Sofia, Bulgaria, and they put on all kinds of concerts. It's like a private orchestra, sort of, as opposed to sort of the state-sponsored radio orchestra or symphony orchestra. It's a private, if I understand correctly, a privately funded orchestra. And so the members audition every year. They
Wow.
have to keep practicing, and they don't necessarily just come back year after year, except for the concertmaster, who's steadily there. It's a competitive orchestra, and they do high profile, high quality programs, and they have very renowned soloists who come and play there. Joshua Bell was recently there, and Maxime Vengeroff, I think, was slated to appear the week after we were there. And I was approached by Cantus Firmus, and they said, "We're putting together a video game program, and we'd like to feature four Bulgarian composers among the list. And are you interested?" And of course, I said, "Absolutely." And we worked on the program, adding pieces and eliminating some pieces and changing the order. And they said we'd like to invite Neil Akri, which I, of course, I said if that'd be fantastic to conduct six of his pieces. And so we sort of started from there and put it together and evolved into a finished program.
So tickets must have sold out like instantly.
Yeah, it was a sold out hall, and it was incredibly well received. And I think it's, hopefully it will start a trend. I'd love to go back. The orchestra had never played anything like that before, and they were really excited and thrilled to do something fresh, something unusual. Their programming tends to be very traditional, and so it was a chance for them to explore and to experience beautiful, touching, exciting music that is totally outside of what they normally do.
Wow. Well, you've done a lot of guest conducting all over the world. So, what's it like to work with an orchestra that's never played this kind of music before?
It's exciting to see their response. I approach a video game concert with the same kind of work ethic that I would a regular symphony orchestra concert. We rehearse, and the bar is very high. We rehearse quickly. I'm very demanding in a very kind way, but very demanding. My expectations are very high for really good musical integrity. And then, so I approach it with the same sort of goals in mind. And then I'm so pleasantly surprised to see them having fun and discovering their music before my eyes. As I rehearse, I start seeing them connecting, and I see their eyes light up, and then I see smiles. And then by the time we have a concert, you know, they're thrilled. That's a different experience than, you know, doing a traditional orchestra concert with maybe Beethoven and Brahms and Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff or what have you, where they've most likely played it at least, you know, 50 times. So seeing their eyes light up and seeing them discover it with me on this journey in the preparation of the concert, that is a thrill every single time.
I'm sure there are some, you know, people who play games in the orchestra, and what I would imagine is really cool for them to actually be able to play music from a game that they've been playing. And here it is in an absolutely beautiful orchestral arrangement.
I often ask the orchestra, how many of you play video games? And I'd say on an average, it's 3 people out of the whole orchestra.
Wow.
And I think it's because orchestra musicians devote their whole lives to practicing. They spend hours and hours and hours and hours practicing in the practice room, right, with fine motor skills. If they have an hour or two off, they want to go outside and they want to exercise and they want to do other things and see friends. So going from the practice room to the couch with a video game and using your fine motor skills is not what they're going to want to do. That's sort of my private theory. They want to get out, right, and ride their bikes or take a hike or something. So I'm not surprised that most orchestra musicians, including the young people. You know, I had many, many times young orchestras on tour with Zelda, and I thought, okay, half the orchestra is going to raise their hand, and only a few, and they just sort of looked at me like, we don't have time to practice and do video games. So it's even more of a discovery, because then they don't really have any preconceived notions about the game or the music. And then they're even more surprised at how fantastic it is. You know, I've opened a window for them, and they're even more like, oh, this is unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, because I think for a lot of people, older people especially, their idea of music from games, you know, dates from like the very early Mario era. And then when you play something like a piece from Jessica Curry's Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, you get to hear just how spectacular game music is these days.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's lyrical. It has emotion. It has texture. It has color. I was so honored to do three pieces by Jessica Curry on the program. And I mean, just thinking about it, I nearly weep. Her music is so beautiful. It was just spectacular. I was really, really honored to do her music, as well as the other women composers, Alitza Alexandrova and Penka Kurnova.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that women writing music for games are also, you know, getting the recognition that they deserve and getting some really fantastic opportunities to write music for games as well, because I think it was a very male-centric world for a long, long time. But I think it's fantastic that you included their music on that concert in Bulgaria.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't have done it any other way. It just would not have made sense, because it needs to be an inclusive community. The video game composer community needs to be inclusive. And I, as a woman conductor as well, feel an obligation and responsibility and a great honor to perform video game music written by women composers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, there was, maybe just the briefest little hint in one of your tweets that perhaps a concert like this might be a possibility here in the U.S. Is there anything you can tell us about that?
We are going to try to pitch this, we're going to pitch this concert to go on tour, and I'm just beginning the process of talking to producers and executive producers, and you know that whole background needs to be put together. But it's going to happen. It's just a matter of setting up the structure.
Ah, oh, that's so exciting! And what have you got planned for the next concert for the Orchestra Moderne?
Our next concert's going to be a big project at Lincoln Center in October 2019. The name of the project is Women Warriors, The Voices for Change. And the music portion of the program involves four women composers who are working on commissions to do this project. And it's going to be projected visuals of women activists who have, from the past, present, and future, who have stood up for women's rights, against sexual slavery, against child marriage, all the issues that women have faced through the millennium around the world. And it's to honor the women who have, in many times cases, risked their lives to make change in the world and who have made change in the world. And it's a concert that will end on a note of empowerment and give everyone in the audience, particularly women and hopefully young girls, the feeling that we have voices and we can use them.
Wow, that sounds like a really amazing experience. And again, extremely timely, very contemporary. So I can't wait.
And socially relevant. I mean, it's putting the social relevance of the Me Too movement, if you will, in with a symphony orchestra experience, which is seldom done.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's what my whole thing is with Orchestra Moderne. I want to be right in the middle of the storm, so to speak.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Wow, Amy, it has been so much fun to talk with you, and I really appreciate your time, and I just honestly can't wait to hear what you do next.
Kate, thank you so much for the invitation. It was lovely seeing you in San Francisco, and it's a great pleasure to reconvene and follow up where we left off, and I'll keep you posted, and I wish you all the very best.
Oh, thanks so much.